We'll be out of Hebrews today, this morning a little more sober, tonight a little lighter of a message. Hebrews chapter 3, as you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, I'll read you a verse out of Psalm 66. Psalm 66, 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." I'm not one for defining the Word of God, but what that means is if I leave sin in my heart, there's a break of fellowship between me and God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are our God. God, I pray that we would never lose sight of that fact. Lord, help us to always be in awe of you. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for giving us so much so freely. Lord, it's good to know you. It's good to be your child. And Lord, as we open up your word today, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would do something in our midst here today, that you would speak to us as individuals, that we would consider our relationship with you. Lord, if there's a sin inside our heart, that we would not be satisfied with leaving here today without getting that right. Lord, please help. We need you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very powerful passage here in Hebrews chapter 3 that can be a great help to us because it is a warning. I appreciate warnings. By our house a couple years ago, they redid a power station. It was a smaller station just on Route 18. Do you remember when they did that? And they made the thing probably three times as large. And one day I got a phone call, and it was when before I had wireless things. And so I pulled off into there, and on the fence, it has a warning: "Do not enter." And they have a little lightning bolt. Thankful for warnings. Thankful that there's not an open gate and you go in and touch it and then the guy comes and says, "Yeah, you shouldn't have done that." I appreciate warnings. With our children, we warn our children as they're heading in a certain direction. "Hey, you might want to think about your next few words." Warnings. Warning. Bridge out. Appreciate the warning. "Take heed, brethren," the author of Hebrews reminds us. A critical warning. This is not just like a suggestion. Hey, if it works out in your schedule or in your day, you might want to listen to this. There's suggestions made to us all the time. This isn't a suggestion. This is much stronger than a suggestion. It says, take heed, take warning. A critical warning. Warning. Why? Because neglected, we'll find ourselves in harm's way. One of the greatest dangers that a Christian can face. You know, I was part of the group yesterday on the side of the holding signs, and man, Kay May is standing there, and she's got her sign. You know, her sign. You see eyes and you see toes when Kay May holds the sign. That's it. The sign's as big as she is. And there people are, you know, waving, and one lady was leaning out the car, putting herself in harm's way just to let us know that she approved of what we were doing. Praise the Lord. We count beeps, we count waves, and we consider that worth 5 points. Is that correct? All right. Sounds good. Helps pass the time and things. Anyways. Guy goes by in a truck and he yells out of his car or his van, "Get a life." Well, according to Ephesians chapter 5, "You hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins." And I thought theologically quickly, actually, my life didn't start until I met the Lord Jesus Christ. See, before I was dead. And here he's writing, the author is writing to believers. Believers, take heed. Brethren, I have something to warn you about, and this is a grave warning. This is not a suggestion. This is not just, hey, if it, again, is conducive with your life patterns. No, he writes it in a way that says, hey, pay attention to this because this is serious. Again, we've had conversations with our children, and I'll say things in passing, but if I want to really make a point, I'll say, son, look at me. This is serious. And they'll pay closer attention. Why? Because of my approach to it. Hey, this is that passage. Take heed, brethren, because there is a great danger ahead. What is that? A hard heart. A hardened heart. And the Bible tells me it is the result of sin. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is a liar. It says it right here. Deceitful. Deceitful. Ever work with somebody, maybe some people that work in a secular area, and you work with someone that you would categorize as deceitful. Anybody work with someone like that? What do you do with that? You try and stay as far away from that person as possible. Why? Because they're just a ticking time bomb. One day, we know, one day, we've seen it happen multiple times, one day their lies are going to catch up with them and their life is going to explode. The boss is actually going to find out that they don't work. The boss is actually going to find out that they steal. The boss is going to find, maybe they are the boss, the owner's going to find out. So what happens if it's the owner? The business won't be open for long. Because sin catches up with you. The deceit catches up with you. And it warns us here. A critical warning. The warning against the deceit of sin. Three categories of sin that we have to be very mindful of. Number one, the undetected sin. In our backyard, I don't know why. So at our house, if you've ever been to our house, it's kind of a unique layout. It's a large ranch. It's pretty much a box with a roof. And we've added, well, we didn't add, but there's a porch on the north side and there's a deck on the back side. So it makes it look a little more like a home. But when it was originally built, it was Hamlin School House number 1, built way back in 1850-something. I could show you the foundation to prove it. It is that. The one wall does this in the basement, but we're good. We're little people and it has not been a problem. But every now and then, someone will show up in the backyard way out back and they'll knock on the door or ask our neighbor, is it okay if I look for some things in the backyard? Well, what are you talking about? And he brings out a metal detector. And he puts his little headphones on and what is he doing? He's looking for something. He's trying to detect something of value that's hidden. And so many times in our life, our sin has been undetected. What is it? It's deep. It needs to be unearthed. It needs to be located. And if you have sin in your life, you ought not to waste any time in saying, God, is there something that I've looked over or glanced over or that I've been deceived that is not a problem? Has there something in my life that is undetected? Does something need to be dug up, unearthed? I am not a doctor or a psychiatrist. But many a times they'll try and, the reason that you're having a hard time stealing is that your great-great-grandfather was a thief. And therefore, your actions and conducts are a result of this previous thing that has happened way back in your life. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about you personally in your heart asking the Holy Spirit of God. This isn't just digging up old wounds. This is finding something that has been neglected, undetected. The deceit of sin will leave it undetected. It will leave it unexposed. Last night, I don't know, I couldn't sleep. I got up. I'll tell you this. Studying out this message this past week, it's just been heavy on my heart. This morning I woke up at about 4:15, and I woke up and I'm like, all right, might as well go to the bathroom, get a drink. And I'm sitting there laying in bed. I'm like, I can't sleep. I'm getting up. And I'm going over this stuff. In the travel from the bedroom to the bathroom, as to not wake anybody up, we moved our giant buffet, this giant, enormous wooden thing, and not turning on lights as to disrupt the dog who's in the other room. Man, I found that buffet. What I needed was it to be exposed. I needed some light. And the sin in our life often goes undetected, unexposed, because we are unwilling to allow the light of the Word of God to shed any sort of truth into our heart. It's a critical warning, church. Undetected, unexposed. Listen now. Unforsaken sin. Not just undetected sin, not just unexposed sin, but unforsaken sin. I was, had a chance to spend some time with Pastor Seatman. Is he here this morning? Okay, we try and ship him out after he does his stuff. And I was talking to him about the trip, the canoe trip, and I had a lot of questions. I want no details. How many days did it rain? Did you lose anything? Did you lose anybody? Did anybody get hurt? Is there any sort of counseling that I'm going to have to do as a result of this canoe trip? Because I'm busy the next couple days, and do I need to handle something? Are two of our members was at odds now as a result of the canoe trip? And he was telling me all the great details and what a wonderful time it was. And I was asking him, how do you get your stuff from where you park to where you camp? He goes, well, a lot of the heavy stuff we share, you know, Mr. Buck brings a stove and we put that in the canoe and we get it down there. I said, what about the rest of your stuff? He goes, well, we carry it. You know what we're carrying in our life? We're carrying things that we ought not to carry. If Pastor Seatman and the crew, Jacob, you went camping, is that correct? You were in the boat? Did you bring the drill press? No. Unnecessary. And incredibly heavy. When you're packing for a trip like that, you only want to carry what is necessary and what will be used. And in our life, we're carrying some unforsaken sin. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Proverbs 29. Who can say? The question this morning, God is asking us, asking you this morning, hey, is there anything undetected, unexposed, unforsaken in your life? Can you say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. A heart of stone was exchanged for a fleshly heart after I met Christ. Look at I love this passage, Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. That's true. My gracious heavenly Father is a cardiologist. And he exchanged a hard heart for a new heart. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. This afternoon, we are going to go home after church, and we have right now cooking at approximately 275 degrees. Is that correct still? right? You didn't turn, okay. A pork shoulder in our oven. And we're excited about that. And that was sitting in the sink, and it was raw, and it was easy to cut in slices in there to pack the garlic into it. And that, God says, that's what I gave you. I gave you something that I can work with. You know that man that was driving yesterday, and he shouted out, get a life! Do you know why? Why is he so hard? Because the Lord hasn't given him a soft heart yet. A heart of stone has been exchanged for a fleshly heart. And now, unlike before when we sinned without Christ, I am now bothered when I sin. And this is the role of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. When we sin, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He says, that needs to go. That's wrong. But know what we do? We take it out back. And we bury it. As to make it undetected. We hide it in the dark closets of our life. The dark corners where there is no light. We just carry it within day after day. See, when the Holy Spirit comes by our way, we have one of two choices. Now, listen, we all sin. How many of you were sinners before you came to Christ? Anybody? Sure. How many of you are sinners after you came to Christ? Absolutely. What's the difference? I still need to make right. And when I sin after I've come to Christ, I have one of two choices. Number one, I can admit wrongdoing and place myself under the mercy of Christ. Got a verse for that? Sure, 1 John chapter 1. Remember what we're reading here today. We're reading what when we started Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, it said two words, take heed. It's warning us against the deceitfulness of sin. This is a warning. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the two things. We can either lie and let sin run its course in its deceit, or I can admit my wrongdoing and get underneath the forgiveness of Christ, experience His mercy. What is mercy? Not getting what I deserve. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. Very familiar with that verse. Use that verse all the time. In verse 24, though, what does it say? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I can get forgiveness. I can be justified. Say, what's it cost? Absolutely nothing to me. It's free. So when the Holy Spirit of God does its work, and I've sinned, and He comes by and says, that right there, that needs to be adjusted. Ideally, I should admit my sin, get right with God, get right with the one I've offended, and move on and experience the mercy and forgiveness of God. But unfortunately, all too often what happens? Self-atonement is what happens. We make ourselves feel good by what God has called evil. Isaiah 5 warns us, be careful that we not call evil good and good evil. Say, I wouldn't do that. we do do it. You know, blindness is a, that's a, I don't know. If someone asked me, would I rather be blind or, I don't know, being blind would be rough to live with. When you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes and you don't see anything, there's no doubt that you're blind physically. You cannot argue when you can't see, correct? Spiritual blindness, though. Here's the problem with spiritual blindness. People that are spiritually blind deceive themselves into thinking that they can still see, because that's the deceit of sin. Living with sin, we are, what are we? We are self-deceivers. That's what it, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10 said. Well, 8 and 10. I would never. We live with sin all the time. How about this? The parent who turns a blind eye towards a child cheating. We justify it. How? Well, so they can get a good start. They can stay ahead. I'm doing it for their benefit. No, cheating's a sin. How about the husband and wife that gossip at the kitchen table about someone in church? Oh, we're just discussing a family. How about the stingy businessman who struggles to give? He will justify by saying, I'm being a wise steward with the resources that God has given me. All the time we make ourselves feel good about something that is wrong. And instead of admitting wrongdoing and making right with the Lord, we self-atone. Say, what does that mean? We justify it. We make it so it's okay. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 3. A warning against that. We're guilty of that. That's why he's writing these things. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of, and then look here now, unbelief. Unbelief. If we would just take simple faith and settle in the accurate diagnosis of the Word of God, mingled with His grace and forgiveness, we can have victory over sin. But instead, look at Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Look at verse 15. It says this, hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for the light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. One of the things that we said about sin is that it needs to be exposed. But when we start working under the confines of pride and rebellion, we're not too far off with unbelief. Unbelief and pride go hand in hand. Instead, we tell ourselves that we are not sinners in need of forgiving mercy. We've just made a mistake. And over we tell ourselves these conversations that everything's okay. But what happens is that unbelief starts to take root. A stronger hold of sin, because there is no confession, there is no repentance, and then, therefore, there is no forgiveness. And we become quite content with just living in sin. And what this does is it pushes the believer further and further away from the one who can actually help and fix all these matters. We bury it deeper, we make it darker, and we carry it longer and longer, only to feel and experience the crippling deceit of sin in our life. No one that has walked 1 mile or one step with sin is better for it. And the result will be when I was lost, the Bible says that my heart was a stony heart. And when I came to meet Christ in Ezekiel, it says that I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to make it so it's malleable and workable. And what does Hebrews 3 warn us against? That our hearts be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin didn't bother me as a lost person. That's where I lived. But I came to Christ, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God started working. How many of you experienced that when you came to Christ, all of a sudden the Lord exposed things that you were quite content with living with, never knew it was a problem. Maybe it was alcohol. Maybe it was whatever it was. And the Lord touched your heart and said, hey, that thing needs to go. Yeah, but everyone else is doing it. Yeah, but I'm your God now, and I bought you, and that goes. All right. All right. But slowly we pick some of these things back up. And what happens? The thing that once bothered us through the Holy Spirit of God no longer bothers us. What was once outside of God's and your own personal boundaries is now within the gate. And a hard heart has been formed. We are no longer malleable. We are resistant to change. And we are no longer tender to the response and feeling of the Holy Spirit of God in our heart. How many of you have calluses on your hands? Any workers here? Great. Two guys. Three or four. Man, you could take a needle and you could stick it through that thing. I don't feel nothing. It's calloused. It's hardened. But oh, you take that same needle and touch the arch of someone's foot. Woo! What's the difference? One is hard. And one is soft. And the Christian has a warning to don't let your heart get hard. Why? What's the problem with a hard heart? The Holy Spirit of God will prick you and you don't feel it anymore. We are now resistant to the tug of the Holy Spirit of God. There's no problem identifying sin around us, but when revealed to you, we are quite unprepared. Out of 100 people, sin deceives 100% of them, all of them. That's what it does. And we will make ourselves into the people that we'll convince ourselves that we are the exception. I can. And here's the unbelief. We will be spiritually blind. So what's the help? Is there any help? Hebrews chapter 3, go back there. Verse 12, we're almost done. We have one more point. Say, there were points? Kinda. They didn't rhyme. They didn't start with the same letter. If you're taking notes, it starts with a critical warning. Number two, the deceit of sin. Then we have unbelieving, and here the result of that. And lastly, help. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Wouldn't it be sad? Be sad for the brethren to depart from the living God. We'll never be separated from Him, but we can depart. And that Holy Spirit touches us about our troubles, and we don't even hear it anymore. lady called the church this past weekend, or I don't know when, there was a message on the machine. She says, I have some questions about your church and service times. Please give me a call back. Sure, no problem. So I called her. T was in my office. T was in the office for the second call. I called her this morning at about 9:15, and it rang like 3 times, and then it was just dead. I'm like, oh, must be a landline. So I hung up. I don't know, maybe a half hour later, I called back. And same thing, rang 4 or 5 times. Silence. Stopped ringing. No, like, hello or anything. So I thought, I wonder if someone's on the other end. Hello? Why do you keep calling me? Whoa, there's a person there. Right? Isn't that what she said? Wouldn't it be a shame if the Lord calls us and we can't even hear it? He's talking to us and we are unresponsive. Why? Because our heart is hardened. We've departed from the living God. Not that we lost our salvation. Can't do that. But our fellowship is broken. Here's the help. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. Sin is so powerful, we literally need intervention daily. Exhort one another daily. So are you suggesting we have church every week, every day? Wouldn't be bad. But let me tell you what sin does. And here's the deceitfulness about it. We have sin in our life, and you know what it makes us want to do? It wants to make it undetected, unexposed, unforsaken. It wants it to be isolated. Get away from there. Yeah, but God's over there. Get away from there. But someone over there can help me. Get away from them. And one of the first results or first responses to having sin in our life is I want to get away from everything that is good and right and spiritual. I want to isolate myself. Brethren, the ministry is essential in the life of every believer. And it is not safe to live separate. It's not. Why? Because we are to exhort one another daily, to warn one another, to help one another, to not get a hard heart and unbelief under the deceitfulness of sin. So what is this daily ministry protecting us from? Spiritual blindness. To the point of developing a hard heart. Four ways. Say four ways. Are you kidding me? What, we're going to be here till Tuesday. No, I have a roast. We're almost done. Four ways. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18. Proverbs 13, 18. I can almost smell it. There's garlic over the top. I'm excited. I think we're going to have rice with it maybe. Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Number one, hey, exhort one another daily. What should I do in my life? Always be teachable and, listen now, reachable. I don't care what your position is. Well, I'm the associate, I'm the pastor, I'm the head deacon, I'm the this, I've been saved for 6 minutes. It doesn't matter. Always be teachable and reachable. You have to be. You have to prepare yourself that one day, Jacob, someone's going to come to you and say, hey, I want to help you. You have sin in your life. And our natural tendency is run away. I need to isolate myself. I need to bury this. I need to cover this. The result will be hard-heartedness. Be teachable. Be reachable. 1 Peter chapter 5, number 2. Say, oh, all right. That is going a little quicker than I thought. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Hey, seek out a spiritually mature person to help you along the way. Jacob, what you don't need is another 14-year-old boy standing right next to you. I mean, that would be helpful as you lock arms and serve the Lord for the, you know, for the cause of Christ. But find someone that's spiritually mature to help you along the way. That's what the Bible says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you subject one to another. Why would he tell you that? Because he wants us to exhort one another daily, lest we get hard-hearted. Lest we be deceived by sin. I'm not sure if you have been aware of the last 6 months. It's been weird, to say the least. There has been a promotion of self-isolation. Can I tell you, spiritually, that is not healthy. You'll get squirrely. You'll get hard-hearted. You'll get hard-hearted. You will have buried sin. You'll have unexposed sin. You'll have unforsaken sin. Seek out spiritual mature person. Say, well, that means I'm going to have to open up myself and be honest and tell someone what's going on. And yes, yes, that's exactly what you want. Proverbs chapter 27. Two more. We're almost done. We're here. Finish line in sight. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Be teachable, be reachable. Seek out a spiritually mature person. Number three, have Christian fellowship. Have people over. Invite yourself over to other people's house. Say, I know where I can get a pork roast today. Is that open? I think the Hodges are having it too. Go there. No. That's what happens when you sit up front, brother. That's why no one else sits up front, because I appreciate Jacob being our illustration. He's sometimes the devil, sometimes he's Jesus. You never know what you're going to be. Have Christian fellowship. Why? Because you help one another. You exhort one another daily. Proverbs chapter 11, fourthly. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. When trouble hits, get counsel. When trouble hits, get counsel. Don't bury it. Get counsel. Get help. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3. This is not a light suggestion. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren. It's a warning to all Christians. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin's real, and it shows up in our life even after meeting Christ. So what do? Do we admit we are doing wrong and place ourselves under the mercy of Christ? Or do we isolate? Do we bury? Do we hide? That will produce a hard heart. Say, what's the big deal with a hard heart? God can't work with a hard heart. You actually move away from the Lord. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's all stand.